السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله النبي الأمين المكين الحنين الكريم الرؤوف الرحيم. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to the series on the Sahabiyat, the female companions of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the status of the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat to an unparalleled station in Islam. They were indeed divinely chosen to uphold and raise the banner of Islam alongside the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, we can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala handpicked the hearts of these companions to fill with iman, with taqwa, and as we will see, an incomparable love and devotion for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a love so profound that no other people could rival it. These companions were the chosen ones who were privileged to see, to hear, to touch, and to sense the radiant presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They witnessed his every word, every tear he shed, every sermon he delivered, and every divine revelation that graced his noble heart. They witnessed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a father, as a husband, as a leader, and as a noble prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also witnessed the remarkable wisdom behind every tough decision that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. They witnessed and actions and things that they couldn't comprehend at the time, yet they remained utterly devoted and loyal. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalts their status in the Quran and states, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that the Muhajireen and the Ansar, the vanguards of the believers, and those who follow them in the grade of spiritual excellence, Allah is well pleased with them all, and they are all well pleased with Him. And He has prepared for them gardens with rivers flowing under them, and they will live in them forever. This is indeed a colossal achievement. So for us, sisters, there is no better way to achieve the rida of Allah Almighty, as in the happiness and the contentment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than to follow in the blessed footsteps of these blessed and chosen women, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared as the vanguards of the believers. So this is a series where we will explore the lives and the seerah of some of the most inspiring and unique women who lived with and around the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what unites all of these extraordinary women is their strength of character, their taqwa, their steadfastness, their conviction in the deen, and the common factor or the common thread that runs through all of these personalities and lives is their dedication and devotion to seeking knowledge. And not just for themselves, but applying it in their own lives and then spreading that knowledge to inspire a whole new generation of strong and righteous Muslims. And for us women and girls today, we want to draw inspiration from their lives, from their experiences, from their stories, and to try to think about the bigger picture that they were a part of. Many of them experienced tragedy, the loss of loved ones, migration, asylum, bad marriages, or being the first in their community to speak out about an injustice. But regardless, their faith or their iman was never shaken. Their experiences only strengthened their faith and their character. And that is the lesson that we ought to take from these blessed women. So in this first episode of the series on the female companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will begin with one of, if not the most important figure in Islam, who was not only the beloved of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also the person through whom we know so much about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his seerah, his sunnah, and the sharia in such great detail and with such precision. After Umm al-Mu'mineen, Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is granted the highest and most noble status amongst not only the blessed wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but amongst the companions as well. It is understood by many historians and authors that in the earlier period of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life in Mecca, when there was a strong need for belief, self-sacrifice, courage, and moral upliftment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a mountain of support in the shape of Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha. And then in the later years of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life in Madinatul Munawwara, when knowledge, strategy, intelligence and reasoning was necessary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a beacon of sober thought and a guiding light for the Muslims in the shape of Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And some of the great authorities and esteemed scholars distinguish Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha from the rest of the great leaders and companions for the depth of her knowledge, her virtuous character, and the great service that she did for the deen. And radiallahu anha presented the remarkable life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way that no other person could have. In other words, because through her intellect and attention to detail and her inquisitive and curious nature, we have such intimate and detailed descriptions about the everyday life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed habits, his adab, his demeanor in the home with his family, his excellent conduct as a just and fair and loving husband, as well as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nights, how he spent his time in worship when no one else was watching except Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. So in one aspect, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was the great legacy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And although we are familiar with her status as the most beloved to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know of the great love and compassion that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, it is important to know that she herself as a person lived up to that status. She was extraordinarily intelligent. She was a naturally curious person. She was deeply analytical. And with her unique position as the closest person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she observed him with a clear purpose, not just out of mere curiosity, but to gain knowledge and wisdom. She reflected deeply on what she would learn and what she would observe from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then she would go on to derive foundational principles from what she had observed of Islamic sciences. So her dedication and her insight is what led her to become one of the leading scholars of her time, a distinguished muhaditha, a mu'allima, a mufassira, a faqiha, a jurist, and a mujtahida, an independent legal scholar. Now, first we will move on to the life of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, her childhood, and then we will speak a little bit about her marriage to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she is Aisha bint Abu Bakr and the daughter of Sayyida Umme Rumman radiallahu anhum. She was born several years after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophethood, and therefore she was born and grew up as a Muslim into a Muslim household. And this is quite an important aspect of her personality, that she was nurtured as a Muslim right from the beginning. And this is unlike many of the other women in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she was a daughter to two incredibly strong and steadfast and courageous Muslims, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Sayyida Umme Rumman radiallahu anha. And because Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was among the closest friends of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and among the few who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it was the most difficult period for the Muslims in Mecca, it was his home that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit daily to discuss and to deliberate the situation of the Muslims at that time. And this is actually something that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha recalls by memory, and she says, لم أعقل أبوي قط إلا وهما يديان الدين. She says, ever since I can remember, both of my parents have been practicing Muslims. وَلَمْ يَمُرَّ عَلَيْنَا يَوْمٌ إِلَّا يَأْتِينَا فِيهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ طَرَفَ النَّهَارِ بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَةً. And she says that not a day would pass that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't visit us in the mornings and the evenings. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, as a young girl, an impressionable girl, had the privilege of not only being born and raised into a strong Muslim household, but also seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very close and in a very intimate setting very early on in her home. And she would witness the love and the reverence that her father had for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She would witness firsthand her father, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, being tortured at the hands of the disbelieving Quraysh. And then she would see how her parents demonstrated true strength and steadfastness in overcoming all of those great trials as well. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was brought up with a very real understanding of what it meant to be a Muslim in the early days of Islam, of what it required of the Muslims to defend their faith, and most notably, what it meant to love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam selflessly and without any concern for one's own being. And for this, she had her father, the best of teachers, to learn from, to learn how to love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not even knowing at that time in her youth that she would be granted the great privilege of becoming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved herself. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she grew up in a very generous household as well. She saw just how generous and giving and charitable Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his cause. Whatever profit her father would gain from his trade, she saw that he would spend it all generously in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we will go on to see how this quality of sakhawa will reflect in the life of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha later on. Now, here is a point of reflection. The power of our family culture and the environment that we create in our homes. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and her sister Sayyida Asma bint Abu Bakr radiallahu anha were always present when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit their home. They weren't shunned away or kept out of sight. In fact, it seems as though there was quite a bit of transparency in their home. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha benefited from observing, from listening, and preserving her memories of all of those events and all of those visits of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her home. And at the same time, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu taught by action, by modeling. And certainly his adab for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were visible for his children to see. How he must have greeted the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he must have sat in his presence, how polite his nature was, how he would speak with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet would enter, how would he greet the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So all of his adab and his etiquette were on display. And Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, a young and impressionable child at that time, was taking all of that information in. She was learning, even if it was subconscious. And we will see later on just how much her father's etiquette and his adab and his deep love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reflects in the life of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha when she enters the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha has a very strong father figure and a great teacher very early in her life. In the same way, her blessed mother, Sayyidah Umm Ruman radiallahu anha, was also a key figure in Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's upbringing. And most importantly, her mother would play a very important role in nurturing Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's understanding of the responsibilities that she would be taking on as the future wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, when Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha was engaged to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but had not yet formally married him, she was still living with her parents. So her mother, Sayyidah Umm Ruman radiallahu anha, took that opportunity for obvious reasons and took an extraordinary effort to keep a watchful eye on Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, to ensure that she was doing everything correctly. She was learning and growing into the perfect wife for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, there was a time when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited their home, and he saw Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha was in distress and she was upset about something. And upon asking her, she had then told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that her mother had been very strict with her on some matter. And so the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to her mother, "Oh Umm Ruman, take care of Aisha and treat her well, for she is dear to me." So these were just glimpses of the circumstances that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha grew up around. And these were the experiences that inform her adult life and prepare her for the life that she would live with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now moving on to the marriage of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. At this very young age, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha is engaged with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we will speak a little bit more about the blessed marriage that took place between the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. But now it is important to first speak about another blessed woman in the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name of Sayyidah Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha, who was the second blessed wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the passing away of Sayyidah Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha. Now, when Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not married to any other woman at the same time, and all of his blessed children were from Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha alone. So she alone bore this great privilege and honor. So not only was it a great tragedy for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had lost his first and most beloved wife and companion and friend and great moral support, but it was also a tragedy for his blessed children. So at this time, only Sayyidah Ruqayya radiallahu anha and Sayyidah Zainab radiallahu anha were married and settled into their homes. leaving both Sayyida Umm Kulthum and Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha unmarried and in the care of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So knowing that now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in effect alone and had no mother or female figure in the house to care for his children, to care for his home, it was at this point that Sayyida Khawla bint Hakim radiallahu anha enters into the picture. She was another loving companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she was married to a noble companion, Sayyidina Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anha. And Sayyida Khawla bint Hakim was known to be an experienced woman in the areas of marriage and family. So she, like many others, had seen the difficulty that the Prophet ﷺ was in. And so her love for the Prophet ﷺ encouraged her to approach the Prophet ﷺ and inquire about his state of affairs. And so she would become a critical figure in arranging both the marriage of Sayyida Sauda radiallahu anha with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then soon after the engagement of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. So Sayyida Sauda radiallahu anha was an Abyssinian, and in fact she was a widow with children of her own. And at that time, she was of an age and time in her life where she was not typically seen as a marriageable woman. But she was certainly among the most steadfast and courageous women at that time. Sayyida Sauda radiallahu anha was among the women who were tortured at the hands of the Quraysh and refused to give up her faith and her deep belief in Islam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Sayyida Sauda radiallahu anha marries the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and would begin taking care of his home and of his blessed daughters. She was known to be a very pure-hearted and righteous woman, and in fact a very humorous woman and a very lively woman as well. Now there is a difference of opinion regarding the time of her death. Some believe it to be at the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, whilst others have stated that she passed away later at the time of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Now, returning back to Sayyida Khawla bint Hakim radiallahu anha. Now, just as she had approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in regards to marrying Sayyida Sauda radiallahu anha, she had also approached Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And so of course an engagement took place between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, which is reported to have happened in the month of Shawwal. Now Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha doesn't move in with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until after the Hijrah into Madinatul Munawwara, and until then she remains in the home of her parents. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha narrates a remarkable incident about how her marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was divinely ordained. And she relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her later on, after they had married officially, that 3 nights before our marriage, Jibreel alaihi salam came to me and showed me a vision of Aisha in a dream. And in the dream, the Prophet ﷺ saw Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha presented before him with her distinct features and her presence. And this vision repeated 3 consecutive nights. And so the Prophet ﷺ was intrigued by this recurring scene. And so the Prophet ﷺ asks Angel Jibreel alayhi salam about who this person was, and he replied, "Hiya Aishatu, hadhihi zawjatuka fid dunya wal akhirah." This translates to, "She is Aisha radiallahu anha. This is your wife in this world and in the hereafter." So Angel Jibreel alayhi salam is conveying Allah's command that this woman who comes into your vision, who comes into your dream, will become your wife in this world and the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood this as a divine sign and accepted the decision with complete submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would officially marry Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha after the hijrah in Madinatul Munawwara. And then Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha would formally move into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From then on, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha would remain in the blessed company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 9 beautiful years. And during this time, she would follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very closely in all of his matters, his decisions, his sermons, his interaction with people and so forth. And she was not simply there to sit and listen and witness the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather she would go on to become a treasure of knowledge for the Muslim Ummah. And it was her thirst for knowledge and her sense of duty and her commitment to dedicating her life and serving the deen that she would take everything that she learned from the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she would later be a critical figure in teaching both men and women on so many important legal, political and social matters, especially pertaining to women. So now we will move on to a little bit more about Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's natural qualities and characteristics. It is understood by many historians and authors that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was quite an all-rounded individual. And in fact, she excelled in all of her fields of interests that she pursued. But before delving into the many hobbies and academic gifts that she possessed, it's important to first speak about Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's profound love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how her love for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam would inspire deep devotion and ita'a, obedience, in her life both during and after the passing away of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if there is one ayah in the Quran that truly captures the essence of her life, it is the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers, stating, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O beloved, say, if you love Allah, if the believers love Allah, then follow me, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will then take you as his beloved, forgive you of your sins, and Allah is most forgiving, ever merciful. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha indeed loved the person and the blessed being of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are of course familiar with some of the stories about how Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was very sensitive about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's relationship with his other blessed wives and so forth. And whilst her protective nature over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be understood as her declaration for her love for the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, I think what is really indicative of her pure and true love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is her dire commitment and dedication to following the blessed teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if her life depended on it. And I mean it quite literally. Because from the narrations that we have about her life and from her own insights about her life and about her feelings and about her expressions, we find that she would go to such great lengths to make sure that every thought, every action, every word that she spoke, every interaction that she had with others, and every decision that she made was in absolute accordance to the Quran and Sunnah. And she was especially careful with the way that she lived her life after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's inspiring to see that she lived her life as a widow for 50 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a constant state of anxiety. that she may be doing something or saying something that was not in accordance with the Sunnah. And there are a few stories and examples that I hope will help illustrate this very unique aspect about her blessed personality. For example, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she recalls the humble and simple life that she lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she recalls that sometimes we would never eat bread and meat for 3 consecutive days. Sometimes we would go a month during which no fire would be lit for cooking, and we would only have dates and water. And then she recalls that when we would eat as a family, we would sit together at the table and often eat from the same bowl, and some of our relatives would join in as well. And nothing ever changed this lifestyle. Never the wealth or the gifts that would be given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his supporters and his companions, nothing ever altered the simplicity of his life and the life of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. And then the 50 years that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha lived without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were no different than the 9 years that she spent in the blessed company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she made a conscious effort to ensure that her lifestyle, her diet, her eating, her days and nights were spent with humility and simplicity. And years later, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she gives an insight about herself, stating that she never ate until she was full, even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, because that particular practice, that sunnah, was embedded in her, and she couldn't possibly do something else that would deviate from that prophetic lifestyle. And then Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha recalls all the times that she was given nasiha from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the times that he would lovingly correct her or advise against a particular action, not because Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha ever did anything that would be considered wrong. Rather, it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wish that his entire family lived up to the same standard that he did. And so she recalls that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, قَالَ لَهَا يَا عَائِشَةَ إِسْتَتِرِي مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةِ فَإِنَّهَا تَسُدُّ مِنَ الْجَائِعِ مَسَدَّهَا مِنَ الشَّبْعَانِ. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, O Aisha, protect yourself from the fire, even if it is with a piece of date, as it can block the hunger of the hungry person and satisfy the full. And then on another day, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making dua and saying, Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina wa ahshurni fi zumratil miskini yawm al qiyamah. She heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making this dua that, oh my Lord, enable me to live as a poor man, take my life as a poor man, and then resurrect me with the poor people on the day of judgment. And when Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha hears this, she asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why ya Rasulullah? As in, why do you wish to be a poor man? Why do you wish to leave this world as a poor man and then be resurrected with the poor and needy? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, innahum yadkhulun al-jannata قَبْلَ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ بِأَرْبَعِينَ خَرِيفًا. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, because the poor people will enter heaven more than 40 years before the rich. And then he continues, يَا عَائِشَ لَا تَرُدِّي الْمِسْكِينَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. O Aisha, do not turn away the needy, even if it is with a piece of date. And then he continues, يَا عَائِشَ أَحِبِّ الْمِسْكِينَ وَقَرِّبِيهِمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُقَرِّبُكِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, O Aisha, love the destitute and needy people. Always keep them nearby, for indeed Allah will make you near on the day of judgment. And so just like that, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha would take this command, these pearls of wisdom from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she would go on to become the most charitable woman of her time. But again, at this time, when she was still in the school of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was still a student. She was still learning, being nurtured by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which meant that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still teaching her the adab and the etiquette of giving charity as well. For example, there was an incident where a poor and needy person had come to the house of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, and so she gave that poor and needy person whatever she had as charity. But then later on, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha asked some of the people around her to bring that person back, and she wanted to make some calculation of the sadaqah that she'd given. And upon seeing this, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, "A'ti wa la tuhsi fayuhsiya alayki." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw what she had done and he advised her lovingly, saying, "Give and do not calculate." And this is so that calculation will not be made against you, i.e. calculation of your deeds on judgment day will not be made against you. And so from then on, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's generosity became unmatched, and to such a degree that she never thought of herself. So much so that years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha on one occasion was given a gift of 100,000 dirham. And she was fasting when she received this money. And she instantly turned to her maid who was working in her home and told her to distribute the entire amount of 100,000 dirham to all the poor and to all the needy. And then when the time came to break her iftar, her maid came back to her and said, "Could you buy some meat or food so that you can break your fast?" And then Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha replied, "If I had remembered, I would have done so." And so now we know this was just a reflection of her commitment and her obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah, his teachings, and that nasiha that he gave to her when she lived in his blessed company. And so Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha spent the rest of her entire life seeking any opportunity to give to the poor and needy. And just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, she too would give away any and all gifts to the poor and needy, even if she herself was left with nothing. And this was the same attitude that she had on matters relating to living modestly as well. So years after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu says that once he came to Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, and she was wearing a very worn out dress with parts covered in patches. And so he thought to fulfill his responsibility. And so he said to Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, "Why don't you wear another dress?" And she replied by quoting what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed her to do years and years earlier, which was, "Do not change your dress until it becomes unusable, and do not think about what you need more than a month in advance." And so that was what was in Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's mind so many years later. And that was the life that she had chosen to live for herself. So it was crucial for Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha to remember, to follow the exact words and the nasiha of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to maintain that modest and humble lifestyle, to give charity without any concern for her personal situation. So just as Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha was so determined to fulfill her duty and her responsibility to care for the needy, to give without any hesitation, to attach herself with the poor and destitute, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed her to do, she was equally devoted to her worship, her ibadah. And it is so inspiring to study the way Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha worshipped. Of course, she had the most perfect teacher. She had seen the prayer being prayed in the most perfect and beautiful manner. She had witnessed and she would taught every minute sunan of the prayer and worship, every etiquette, every adab of the prayer. And during those 9 years, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha followed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his routine, his way of worshipping, his etiquette during the prayer, and attempted to put his example into practice in her own life. So she had witnessed all the times the Prophet ﷺ would wake up for tahajjud prayer, pray his witr prayer. She would join the Prophet ﷺ and pray sometimes all the way up till sunrise. So having learnt directly how to worship from the most beloved servant of Allah, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she knew, she explained, and she continued to perform not just the faraiz, but every nawafil, every non-obligatory prayer, every recommended prayer. And it is stated that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha would even make up the non-obligatory prayers. So the nawafil, or for example, the prayer of duha, if she had missed praying them on time. That was her dedication and her commitment to preserving the sunnah and practicing it to the T in her own life. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal narrates in his Musnad that when Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha prayed alone, she would elongate her qiyam in every single rak'ah. And when she would be praying the nawafil prayer, during the recitation of the Qur'an, when the verses of wa'id would come, as in the verses in the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns people about the consequences of their actions and their sins or disbelief, it is reported that she would hesitate a little bit, and then she would go back to the beginning of that verse and recite it again and again to feel that grief and sadness. And the people around Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha would witness that her scarf would often become wet with her tears, and she would weep and she would cry for a long period of time. And then she would repeat those verses of wa'id again and again. And even after finishing her prayer, she would remain in a state of sorrow whilst she reflected and contemplated. One day, when Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha recited the verse, "Then Allah bestowed His favour upon us and then protected us from the punishment of the scorching fire," in Surah At-Tur, ayah number 27, she couldn't hold back her tears and she began to sob. And it was an explanation of the state of those who had left the world and lived in the peace of salvation in the hereafter. But Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha was so concerned with her present life and her present position that she never thought of herself as someone who was guaranteed the afterlife or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And then it is stated for all of her five fard salah, she would read every single one of them in jama'ah, as her hujra was connected to the Masjid al-Nabawi, and so she was able to hear the imam whilst standing in her home. And if at that time there were more women present, she would herself lead the prayer by standing in the middle of the first row of the women. So again, that was her commitment to perfecting her prayer, ensuring that her prayer never became some sort of habitual routine. Rather, she would spend time on her prayer, she would reflect, she would seek forgiveness, she would cry and weep, and she ensured that every single one of her prayer was read in congregation. Now, it's a common belief amongst some women and men for that matter that praying in jama'ah is only something men should be worried about. And as a result, unfortunately, it always seems that the women on the women's side of our masajid neglect the etiquette of praying in jama'ah. The lines are never straight. There are always gaps in between the women. And when they stand for prayer, it's sometimes a hassle to encourage some of the elderly women to join the lines for the jama'ah. So what Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's worship and her etiquette of worship shows us is that she broke some of those gender barriers down, and she demonstrates how piety and righteousness is not gendered in any way, shape or form. Women are equally encouraged to reap the blessings of prayer, the blessings of the sunan and the nawafil. And then when it came to Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's fasting, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and Imam Sa'ad in his Tabqat describe Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha as Sa'im al-Dahr, the one who fasts perpetually. And her students recall that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha remained in a state of fasting for almost her whole life with the exception of the two Eids. And her brother, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, he states that one year Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha didn't go for the Hajj and she remained at home. And it was the day of Arafah, and as per the command of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she kept her fast, even though on that particular day the heat was so strong that she had to keep pouring water over herself so that she wouldn't faint from dehydration. And out of fear for her health, her family kept asking her to break her fast, but she was refusing. And when they asked her why, she replied, "Because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that those who do not go for the Hajj, for them the day of Arafah is the day that they should fast, for it expiates the sins of the entire year that has passed." So of course, nothing was going to stand in Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's way to avail an opportunity like this. And again, this is that anxiousness that I spoke about earlier. She lived as though the fire of hell was always in front of her eyes and the fragrance of paradise always under her nose. Now we will move a little bit into her public life and her duties and her responsibilities outside of the home. So after Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha arrived into the blessed house of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her closeness to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and her knowledge of the Quran and her deep concern for the gender inequality in the Arabian society at that time became a great advantage for the women around her in Medina. Now, although many people had converted to Islam, some of the ways and the views of the period of Jahiliyyah still remained in the society. And of course, women were at the bottom of the society's concerns. But now in Medina, the women had found this intelligent, talented, and influential personality in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha became somewhat of a consultant to the women. And so women would start coming to Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha with their sorrows, with their very intimate details about their marital affairs, about their personal problems and worries. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha would either provide solutions herself, or she would become a critical figure in relating the context of so many issues that some women would bring to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we are now aware of and can take guidance from today. For example, it is Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha who relates the story of Sayyida Khawla bint Thalaba, the woman whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in the opening verses of Surah Al-Mujadila. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates that Khawla radiallahu anha had come to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she poured out her heart and she said, "Ya Rasulullah, my husband, he has spent my wealth, he has exhausted my youth, and my womb bore abundantly for him," as in she birthed so many children for him. And then she says, "But when I became old and unable to bear children, he pronounced the zihar on me." So the practice of zihar was another pre-Islamic tradition from the period of Jahiliyyah, where a husband would declare his wife to be like his mother's back. So it was essentially a form of psychological abuse. And it left the wife in a sort of limbo where she was neither fully divorced nor able to remarry. And so Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states that then Sayyida Khawla radiallahu anha, she called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, "Oh my Lord, I am complaining to you about my situation." And it was then when Jibreel alayhi salam came with the verses of the Quran, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Qad sami'a Allahu qawla allati tujadiluka fi zawjiha wa tashtaki ila Allahi wallahu yasma'u tahawurakuma. Inna Allaha sami'un basira." Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard the words of the woman who is arguing with you about her husband and was pleading with Allah and Allah was hearing the mutual questions and answers of both of you, and surely Allah is all hearing and all seeing. And following this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that this unjust practice was to be abolished and instituted a system of atonement for those who used zihar on their wives. So because Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was almost always in the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, specifically when he was dealing with these sorts of private marital affairs of the women, or when dealing with the intimate relations of his companions, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was always listening intently and with great purpose. Not like some of us who may take pleasure maybe in listening to what we call gossip on the very intimate matters about someone's life. For us, unfortunately, it's an intriguing thing to hear about so-and-so's divorce, to hear about so-and-so's family drama. But here, this was certainly not the case. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she was listening, but she was analyzing, she was reflecting, and then she was teaching, guiding, and advising. And so her position as a scholar and as a guide and as a teacher carried on all the way through each of the caliphates, beginning with her father, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, all the way till Imam Ali karamallahu wajhahu kareem. And during their reigns, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha remained an important authority to consult on issues that arose, whether it was political, social, religious, legal, any of that sort. And although many of the other wives of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were also present during those years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, it was the depth of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's knowledge that distinguished her from all of those other blessed women. So after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, it became very common for people to start discussing religious rulings, issues, concerns, and often there were incorrect narrations or deductions being made that were not accurate. And so amidst these confusions, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha emerged as a leader, and she would issue the fatawa when the hadith were unclear to the companions and the tabi'een, or when the people needed an explanation of some of the verses of the Quran. And it was not only the khulafa that would come and seek her counsel. Many of the companions and the tabi'een that had travelled to faraway cities in Iraq, for example, and elsewhere, also sent letters or people to seek information and clarification on their behalf towards Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So the story of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha is both remarkable and inspiring. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha had no children of her own. And if you think about it, one of the fundamental duties of a mother is to teach, to guide, and to nurture one's children. And so Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha took on that role, but as the mother of the believers. And in turn, she became our guide and our teacher. So in other words, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was more than just a transmitter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words. She was in fact a haven for clarity and understanding for the companions after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, he states that whenever a hadith was unclear to us, we would go straight to Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and we would always gain knowledge about that hadith from her. So when the meanings of the hadith were veiled, or debates would arise among the companions about intricate concepts, they always sought her counsel. And not just in the science of hadith, but she was a great jurist, a faqiha as well. And Imam Hakim says in his Al-Mustadrak that 1/4 of the rule of the entire Sharia was narrated on the authority of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And just as she was a leading figure in the science of hadith, she was also sought after to resolve matters of legal principles as well. And Imam Masruq ibn Ajda, who was among the tabi'een and a great muhaddith, says that once he saw a group of the elders among the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were seeking Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's counsel on a matter relating to the law of inheritance. And indeed, she was a great source of clarity for them as well. And similarly, Imam Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri radiallahu anhu, also a respected scholar from the Tabi'in, said that if Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha's knowledge is compiled and compared to the knowledge of all of the women, her knowledge would surely excel theirs. And then he would go on to say that the first person to remove distress from the people and then explain to them the sunnah regarding that situation was always Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. So in the end, around 8,000 companions, both male and female, would become her students in the Islamic sciences and jurisprudence. And the total number of hadith that are reported by her is around 2,210. So through her efforts, she taught the ummah what we know to be the practical and living Islam that she saw for herself in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is truly not a greater blessing than this. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha was one of the most powerful figures of her time, and today stands as the perfect role model for both men and women. Her submission, her dedication and devotion to the life and teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is remarkable. And though she is most famous as a muhaditha and a treasure of knowledge, I think her worship, her fasting, her asceticism and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unmatched. And perhaps this was the true reason that she was known as Habibatu Habibillah, the beloved of the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.